Welcome back again. I told y'all I was going live one more time, and here I am. I had to get y'all week 10 recap, and I got to get y'all previews for tomorrow's games when it's matching tomorrow. So I'm going to try to be as quick as possible. But as always, please make sure you like, comment, subscribe. It helps the network grow. Close to 1,000 subscribers. Please check out the other shows on the network, BWT, FFC, the main show featuring Joe, Tomo, and Dave. Shout out, we got a new show, RBO, Real Ballers Only, that's now ran by Javon. We got the Joe Jordan Show, and we have the Doghouse every Wednesday. So please, just like, comment, subscribe if you like any of the content from this show or all the other shows I just named. We got to get into some poll talk. Didn't get into it yesterday. The AP polls have dropped. I know those don't matter. What matters is the committee polls that drop tomorrow. But we got to talk about these AP polls just a little bit. They can, I feel like, influence the college football committee a little bit. So I know I went on a rant about JMU. I think I've heard that JMU is not even allowed to be ranked in the college football top 25. So that sucks. That sucks that they can't be ranked if that's the case. That is trash. They need to fix that rule. I understand the rule, why the rule was put in place. For programs that may need it, but JMU does not need it. There needs to be exceptions to that, to the rule, and JMU is one of them. All right, so now Georgia is one in the AP. That's not going to stay the same. Michigan, two in the AP. Ohio State, three in the AP. Florida State, four in the AP. All right, so in the AP, the top nine stay the same. It's in order. It's Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Penn State. Now, we know when the college football committee drops theirs tomorrow, it's not going to look like that. Ole Miss moves up to 10, Louisville to 11, Oregon State 12, Utah 13, Tennessee 14, Oklahoma State jumps up to 15, Mizzou drops to 16, Oklahoma drops to 17, LSU drops to 18, Kansas jumps up to 19, Tulane up to 20, JMU, which won't be ranked, is at 21. Notre Dame drops to 22. They honestly should be unranked. I'm getting sick and tired of Notre Dame. They're pretenders. Arizona, happily surprised at that they are ranked. I figured that was coming. Appreciate you, J-Mo. Hashtag. Hey, Louisville football, though. Louisville football lit. Louisville football, 11th AP, probably going to be around that for the college football committee. So, hey. North Carolina is back ranked in the AP. Get them out of here. I better not see the college football committee put Louisville and North Carolina in the top 25. And then Liberty jumped into the top 25. I figured that was coming. Liberty rightfully deserves to be top 25. I don't know if the college committee is going to do it, though. Air Force took an L, a major L to Army, so that hurts. That drops them out. That gives Liberty the space. K-State takes an L, drops them out. So, yeah, maybe Liberty gets in the top 25 by the college football committee, but happily surprised that they're there. Jamie Chadwell got the Liberty Flames looking really nice. They look poised to win the Conference USA Championship. But as always, if you got any disagreements, if you agree, you can leave a comment. We can talk about these AP polls, top 25. But, again, won't matter until tomorrow when the college football committee drops theirs. I think at like 7, 7:30. Moving on. Like I said, I'm going to try to run through this. It's late. Try to run through this real quick. We got to go over our game. So Thursday, TCU, Texas Tech. I picked Texas Tech to win. Texas Tech wins 35-28 at home against TCU. TCU starts with a 3-and-out punt. Texas Tech starts with a 3-and-out punt. So they both start out punting. And then Texas Tech will score a touchdown. Baron Morton 9-yard touchdown run on 4th and 2. Baylor Cup 19-yard reception set that up. TCU answers with a 17-yard pass, touchdown pass to DJ Rogers, set up by Jared Wiley, 19-yard reception. Then Texas Tech answers with a 27-yard field goal set up by defensive pass interference. TCU misses a 43-yard field goal, leads to a Miles Price 25-yard touchdown catch. Then Texas Tech scores a 55-yard field goal set up by Coy Aiken, 30-yard reception. Texas Tech starts the second half with a punt. TCU starts with a 16-yard Imani Bailey touchdown run set up by Jalen Robinson, 29-yard catch. Texas Tech has a turnover on downs, fourth and one. Taj Brooks' run is stuffed. It leads to a two-yard Imani Bailey touchdown run. TCU's Josh Hoover would throw his first interception of the night. Leads to a Taj Brooks 9-yard touchdown run, and the two-point is good. Texas Tech would then score a Dre McCray 44-yard touchdown catch. Xavier White set that up with a 39-yard catch. Then TCU would score a 1-yard Trey Sanders touchdown run. Just set up by a 16-yard drive, 16-play drive. Just a long drive to score a touchdown. But then TCU would get the ball back, and Josh Hoover would then throw his second interception of the game, which would lead to the end of the game, which would lead for Texas Tech to win in a shootout. Now, Texas Tech, they won because they committed less turnovers. TCU's Josh Hoover did have the two interceptions, which in the end killed them ultimately. Chandler Morris was out there with the second unit pregame, but was a no-go. They didn't start him. They didn't play him. Feel like he wasn't ready. So Josh Hoover took over, and he almost led TCU to victory, but an interception late game on a game-time drive kills it. Texas Tech wins, like I predicted, at home. And TCU still trending down. Moving on, we have Wake Forest. Mitch Griffiths was back for Wake Forest, while Riley Leonard was not back for Duke. But it didn't matter because Duke won 24-21 at home anyway. Wake Forest starts with a punt. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. Wake Forest did start with a punt. Duke starts with a punt. Then Wake Forest will score a 3-yard touchdown run by Tate Carney, set up by Keyshawn Williams, 25-yard catch. Then Duke's Grayson Loftus sacked and fumbles the ball, but it leads to a 27-yard missed field goal, which would then lead to a punt. And then Duke scores a 32-yard Jaquez Moore touchdown run, set up by a 25-yard run by Jaquez Moore. Wake Forest will have a turnover on down, fourth and one. Tate Carney runs for a 2-yard loss, but it leads to a Grayson Loftus interception. And that interception would lead to an 8-yard Mitch Griffiths touchdown run. Duke would score a 4-yard Jordan Waters touchdown run, set up by a 24-yard Jordan Waters run. Duke would then start the second half with a punt. Wake Forest would start the second half with a 39-yard missed field goal, which would lead to a punt. And then Wake Forest would then score a 5-yard Mitch Griffiths touchdown run, set up by a 61-yard Taylor Moore and catch. Wake Forest would then have Mitch Griffiths fumble, which would lead to a punt. Duke would then score a 29-yard Jordan Moore touchdown catch. And it was 4:22 left. Mitch Griffiths looking to throw the football. Ball slips out of his hand, lands right into the Duke defender's, right in his lap. They called it an interception, more so of a fumble, but it's technically an interception. And then Duke will run out the last 4:22 left in the game to kick the 26-yard game-winning field goal. Now, when I was watching this game, Wake Forest dominated this game. Mitch Griffiths and Wake Forest was moving the ball up and down the field. Duke could barely stop them for real. But Mitch Griffiths, that wasn't the first time the ball slipped out of his hands. That was the second time the ball slipped out of his hands. And that's what killed him. Mitch Griffiths would just lose the ball. Duke, Johnny on the spot, and they ran the clock out, won the game. So they escaped. Honestly, Duke escaped with this win. But, hey, you'll take it when your starting quarterback is out. So shout out to Duke for winning this game like I picked. You escaped, but like I said, you'll take that W. Moving on, we have South Battle, Alabama at Troy. Again, I picked Troy to win, and Troy won 28-10 to stay on top of the SEC. Sun Belt West. So this game, like I figured, not so much offense. Troy won 28-10. Troy starts with the punt, and South Alabama will punt. Then Troy Jabri Barber will fumble, which leads to a LaDainian Webb 6-yard touchdown run for South Alabama. Then with 13:34 left in the second quarter, South Alabama will miss a 50-yard field goal, which will set up Chris Lewis's first touchdown, 47 yards, first of three on the day. Then with 19 seconds left in the second quarter, Troy will score Chris Lewis' 26-yard touchdown catch, set up by Deshaun Stoudemire. He had two catches for 22 yards on that drive. Bad handwriting, so if I'm wrong, hey, look, y'all can kill me. Bad handwriting. South Alabama starts with a punt. Then Troy starts with a 40-yard missed field goal, which leads to a punt. Then Troy, turnover on downs, fourth and one. Damian Taylor, 2-yard loss on a run, leads to a 29-yard field goal, and that would be it for South Alabama. Detroit would answer with a 1-yard Kamani Vidal touchdown run. Deshaun Stoudemire set that up with a 21-yard catch. And in South Alabama, Gio Lopez would throw an interception, which would lead to Chris Harris. That's a Chris Lewis. final touchdown of the day, 29 yards out. And Chris Lewis, he only had four catches, but three of those were touchdowns. He was making contested catches for these touchdowns. Chris Lewis is an absolute playmaker. If you need a big play, go to Chris Lewis. 50-50 ball. What Devontae Parker say? He's an 80-20 ball. It's kind of like Chris Lewis there. Troy. Troy defense against suffocating. Carlin Lacey did get to go. He got – Carlin Lacey did his thing for South Alabama, but Troy, for the most part, held South Alabama in check with Gio Lopez, the backup quarterback in the game. But shout-out to Troy, man. Stifling defense, again, looking like they are going to win the Sun Belt only because JMU cannot compete. I really want to see a JMU-Troy Sun Belt championship, but unfortunately, we can't see it. Moving on, we have Boston College at Syracuse. Now, I did pick Syracuse to win this game, and Garrett Schrader was just magically out. He was just out. He came out in sweatpants with his jersey on, so it was up to Carlos Del Rio Wilson, and it didn't go too well. Boston College will win 17-10 on the road in the Carrier Dome, and I would just like to say, I feel like Syracuse wins that game if Garrett Schrader was there. Garrett Schrader plays, I feel like Syracuse wins. But let's get into the game. Boston College starts with a punt. Syracuse starts with a Carlos Del Rio interception, leads to a 24-yard field goal. Then with 33 seconds left in the first quarter, Syracuse will score a Carlos Del Rio Wilson touchdown run. Set up by LaQuint Allen, 32-yard run. Boston College, Thomas Castellanos would then fumble, but it leads to a punt. Then Syracuse, Carlos Del Rio Wilson would throw a second interception of the day, which leads to an Owen McGowan 2-yard touchdown run. Then Syracuse would miss a 57-yard field goal right before the half. Syracuse would start the second half with a punt. Boston College would start with a punt. Boston College would have a turnover on downs, 4th-and-1. Castellanos' run is stuffed. Leads to a Syracuse 36-yard field goal, and that would be it for Syracuse. Boston College's Kai Ribichow would then fumble. He got lit. So let's talk about this play for a little bit, just briefly. So Kai Ribichow catches the ball. He gets lit up by the defender, and they immediately throw this flag for targeting. And I'm in my room just going off. Like, come on, not every violent hit is targeting. Let's not do this. This is football. You're going to have some violent hits. And they overturned it. Thank God they looked at the replay. They didn't deem it targeting. They deemed it legal, which it was. Clean shoulder hit. And Kai, unfortunately for Kai, he got hurt, and prayers up to you. I don't think it's that bad, but if it is, prayers up. But it's part of the game, man. Violent hits are going to happen that are legal, and this is one of them, and I'm glad they didn't call the targeting. But the fumble doesn't hurt him because Carlos Del Rio Wilson would then throw his third pick of the night, but it leads to a punt. And then Boston College would score a 7-yard Thomas Castellanos touchdown run set up by a 21-yard Lewis Bond catch. And then Carlos Del Rio Wilson would throw his fourth interception of the night, which would lead to the end of the game. And again, Carlos Del Rio Wilson just did not take care of the football. Four interceptions is unacceptable. Cannot have it. You cannot do it. Don't think Gary Schrader would throw four picks to this Boston College defense. Not saying this Boston College defense wouldn't pick off Gary Schrader at all, but four is ridiculous. I don't see it. I also think Gary Schrader might be able to get a little bit more done on the ground against this Boston College defense. So I do think if Gary Schrader did suit up and he was healthy, they would have beat Boston College, especially at home. The home crowd, all those explosive plays would have got going, and it might have rattled Boston College. Who knows? But can't take nothing away from Boston College. Good win. Good win there. I believe Boston College is actually bowl eligible. Let's look real quick. I think he is now. They're now bowl eligible. I know they're doing way better than I thought they were, so shout out to them. But hey, I didn't say I get 100% of my predictions correct. I'm gonna be wrong. Their predictions, their preseason predictions for a reason. So Boston College is currently 6-3, bowl eligible. So congrats to them. Moving on, we have our final game of, I believe, Friday night. Colorado State 15 at Wyoming 24. I had Wyoming to win this game. Because like I said, Wyoming, their strength on defense is Colorado's strength on offense. But I think I thought Wyoming's defense would be better than Colorado State's passing offense, and they won the game. So Colorado State would start with a punt, and Wyoming would start with a 30-yard field goal set up by Andrew Peasley, 15-yard run. I said Colorado State can't allow that. Colorado State misses a 47-yard field goal, leads to a Gunner Gentry 9-yard touchdown catch. Wyoming misses a 55-yard field goal, which leads to a Lewis Brown, the fourth, 18-yard touchdown catch. Wyoming will start the second half with a 52-yard field goal miss, which leads to a Braden Fowler Nicosi interception. Can't do that. I think I said you can't have – he can't do that. He got to take care of the football, which leads to a Nair Asante 11-yard touchdown reception. Again, one of my keys. Get him the rock. Colorado State, Braden Fowler Nicosi would throw his second interception, which leads to a Sam Scott 6-yard touchdown run. Then Andrew Peasley would get in on the fun and throw his interception, which led to a Dylan Goffney 9-yard touchdown catch, and the 2-point would be good. Then Braden Fowler Nicosi would fumble. He said, I could switch it up. I could turn it over, but switch it up. He would fumble, which leads to a Wyoming turnover on downs on fourth and goal. Harrison Wiley was stuffed on a run, which would then lead to Colorado State's fourth and three turnover on downs. Van Shiel with a 2-yard reception on fourth and three, so he stopped short, which would lead to the end of the game. And I didn't really have too much on this game. I did watch it. I probably watched Syracuse versus Boston College a little bit more than this game just because it was a little closer. But Wyoming defense, I wouldn't say it was suffocating, but it did its job, forced two turnovers, forced two interceptions. So did his job. I think Colorado State did a decent job against the run, if I remember correctly. But Wyoming, they stocked another W. I believe Wyoming is now bowl eligible. So shout out to Peasley. Shout out to Wyoming. And I barely bet against Colorado and Laramie. Just can't do it. So we move on to our Saturday games. And we have what looked to be upset alert at New Jersey and Piscataway. Turns out Ohio State wins by 19. I believe they actually even covered after looking like they weren't going to cover all day. They actually covered. Ohio State will win 35-16 at Rutgers. Now,
I'm sorry, y'all. It's late. I know. That's that. I'm trying.
I try not to, but it's late. It's 12:15. It's late. I know. You can see in my eyes. We got 10 more recaps, 3 previews, and some major performances, and then we out of here. I'm trying to fly through them for y'all. So Ohio State wins 35-16. Ohio State starts with a 3-and-out punt. Rutgers starts with a 3-and-out punt. Ohio State scores a 14-yard G. Scott touchdown reception. Excuse me. And then with 7:49 left in the second quarter, Rutgers scores a 22-yard field goal, set up by a 45-yard Kyle Menungai run. Ohio State would then turn the ball over on downs, 4th and 5. Jesse Mirko would have a 2-yard run on 4th and 5, which leads to a 21-yard field goal. Kyle McCool would then throw an interception, which would lead to a 20-yard field goal. Rutgers would start the second half with a Jordan Hancock pick 6. So, Gavin Wimsey threw the pick 6 to Jordan Hancock, and he took it 93 yards for a pick 6. Ohio State would then score the 9-yard Travion Henderson touchdown run set up by Carnell Tate, 22-yard catch. Then Rutgers would answer with the Jaquay Jackson 19-yard touchdown catch set up by Christian Dremel, 35-yard catch. Ohio State would then answer with a 4-yard Marvin Harrison Jr. touchdown catch set up by Travion Henderson, 65-yard run. Then Rutgers would have its first turnover on downs, 4th and goal. Gavin Wimsey is sacked, leads to a punt. Then the second Rutgers turnover on downs, 4th and 2, pass incomplete, leads to a Marvin Harrison Jr. 2-yard touchdown reception. And that'd be a ball game. I didn't really watch too much of this game, not only because it was a blowout, because I was at work, but I did catch some of it. I did see the G. Scott touchdown, just a great catch in traffic. I didn't see any of the Marvin Harrison Jr. touchdown catches. But I think I did see some of these turnover on downs. But just, you know, Ohio State just winning ugly, winning defensively as they have been all year. No surprise there. Now, this is a game I did watch quite a bit of while at work. K-State, 23rd-ranked K-State, 30 at 7th-ranked Texas, 33, final in overtime. Did pick Texas to win. Now, I was a little iffy on Malik Murphy, how we would start. And Texas would start with a punt, but then K-State would start with a punt. Texas would score a 37-yard Adonai Mitchell touchdown catch. So one of my keys was Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy. Adonai Mitchell it is. Texas would then score a 32-yard field goal set up by a 47-yard Adonai Mitchell touchdown, but 47-yard reception. Then Texas would score C.J. Baxter, 54-yard touchdown run. Then Malik Murphy would throw an interception, but it led to a punt. Then Texas on 4th and 2 would run for a loss, which leads to a punt. Then K-State would score a six-yard touchdown pass to Phillip Brooks, set up by Jason Brown, 28-yard catch. Then K-State's Will Howard would throw his first interception. I said my previous can't have it if you Will Howard. Can I throw a pick? He would throw a pick, but it led to a punt. Then K-State Will Howard would be sacked and fumbled, which would lead to a Jonathan Brooks 5-yard touchdown run. The Texas would then score a 49-yard field goal set up by a Jonathan Brooks 27-yard run. K-State will answer with a 26-yard Phillip Brooks touchdown catch set up by Keegan Johnson. He had three catches, 41 yards on that drive. Then Malik Murphy would throw his second interception, leads to a Keegan Johnson 12-yard touchdown catch. Then Jonathan Brooks would fumble, which leads to a 32-yard Jace Brown touchdown catch, but the two-point would be no good. Texas would then answer with a 34-yard field goal set up by Adonnie Mitchell at three catches, 44 yards on that drive. Then K-State, 27-yard field goal would be missed, leads to a punt, and then K-State would score a 45-yard field goal right before regulation ended, sending it to OT, set up by Phillip Brooks, 18-yard catch. Then in OT, Texas would kick a 42-yard field goal. Now let's talk about K-State's OT decision. Fourth and goal, think like 2-3 yards away. They decide to go for it and instead of sending it to second overtime. I guess they felt like we have nothing to lose. We're the dogs. We're not even supposed to be in this position. Let's get it over with. And Will Howard gets pressured. He feel like he's going down. And in the last ditch effort, he tries to throw the ball up. No one's near it. And it's ball game. K-State loses. I think they should have just kicked the field goal and let whatever happens. If Texas scores, they have to go for two anyway. And then if they don't get it, K-State has a chance to win it because you have to go for two no matter what in the second OT. And then third OT on is all two-point conversion plays. So I would have took my chances, but they didn't. They wanted to get it over with, and they lost. And now K-State in the AP poll is unranked. Texas, Malik Murphy hasn't stopped throwing picks. He has two picks last week. He had some picks 2 weeks prior. Has to stop throwing picks. Will Howard has to take care of the football. And I said it, K-State's not going to win this game if they're not taking care of the football. Now, Texas didn't take care of the football either, but K-State didn't as well. So, Texas wins. They escape. Make no mistake about it, Texas escapes. So, and they stay on top of the Big 12. Yeah, I want to say they stay on top. Now, we have the game that killed me in the morning. We have Notre Dame at Clemson. Notre Dame would lose 23-31. And I did watch a bit of this game as well Saturday because I'll probably watch this game the most Saturday. Notre Dame would start with a 43-yard field goal set up by Audric Estime, two carries for 48 yards. Then Clemson would start with a punt. And then Clemson would then score after Notre Dame punt. Clemson would get the ball in a pretty good field position and score a 41-yard field off a touchdown run on the next play. Then Clemson, after Notre Dame gets the ball, is set to punt. And Chris Tyree muffs said punt. And the Clemson recovers the ball, and they would lead to a 21-yard field goal. Could have been more damage because they got the ball in really good position. Then Notre Dame would score a 30-yard field goal set up by Sam Hartman, 38-yard run. Clemson would score a 9-yard Tyler Brown touchdown catch set up by Sage Ennis, 18-yard reception. Notre Dame, Sam Hartman would throw a pick six to Jeremiah Trotter right after that Clemson touchdown, 28-yard pick six by Jeremiah Trotter. Then Notre Dame would kick a 23-yard field goal set up by Chris Tyree, 21-yard reception. Clemson's K. Klubnik would then throw his interception, leads to an Audric Estime 2-yard run, and that was the start of the second half. Clemson would answer with a 1-yard Phil Moffa touchdown run set up by Phil Moffa the entire drive. Notre Dame would answer with a 26-yard Sam Hartman touchdown run set up by Rico Flores, 35-yard reception on the drive. And then Notre Dame's Sam Hartman would throw an interception with 1:58 left in the fourth quarter, which would lead to Phil Moffa fumbling the ball, which would lead to a turnover on down the 4-for-10 pass incomplete, which would lead to the end of the game. Now, Notre Dame, after Clemson makes the score 31-23, had multiple cracks at scoring a touchdown and winning, tying the game. And they just felt like every time they got the ball with a chance to drive and score and take and tie the game, they just didn't want to do it. They just couldn't drive the ball. Three and out. One first down. Punt. Three and out. Punt. It's just like, we don't want to win this game. We don't want to take the lead. We want y'all to have it. So we'll make it close. We'll make it interesting. And then y'all can have the game. That's what it felt like for Notre Dame. Quick slants killed Notre Dame all game for Clemson. Clemson was running a bunch of quick slants, and Notre Dame couldn't stop it. Kind of like Florida State. Florida State had troubles with the quick slants as well against Clemson. But Clemson avoids going below 500. They are now 5-4. Dabo, while not happy, will take it probably. Notre Dame will take another L, being 7-3 and officially out of playoff contention. It sucks because Notre Dame is labeled as frauds. I would personally agree. Frauds. Lost to Louisville on the road. You beat SC at home, but you were at home. Lost to Clemson on the road. Lost to Ohio State, actually at home, and you choked the game away. You had 9 players on the field last 2 plays of the game on defense, so you choked that game away. So you just look fraudulent. Marcus Freeman has to figure this out. Now, moving on to the afternoon slot. Ready to get it done. I wish we was at the late night slot so I can get these 3 done, but we got 12th-ranked Mizzou at 2nd-ranked Georgia. Final score, Georgia 30, Mizzou 21. They did cover the spread for those who took it. I took Mizzou. UGA starts with a 33-yard field goal set up by Ra-Ra Thomas, 26-yard catch. Mizzou then answered with a 39-yard Luther Burden Jr. touchdown catch. I think he's the third, actually. Then Brady Cook set that up with a 15-yard run. Georgia will answer with a 6-yard Dominique Leavitt touchdown catch, set up by 18-yard Marcus Rosemary's Jack Saint catch. Then with 4:14 left in the second quarter, Mizzou will score a 57-yard field goal set up by Brady Cook, 2 carries for 37 yards. Mizzou starts second half with a 42-yard field goal set up by Theo Weiss, 31-yard catch. UGA answers with a 15-yard Kendall Milton touchdown run set up by DeJuan Edwards, 23-yard, looks like catch. UGA scores a 5-yard Oscar Delp touchdown catch set up by Lad McConkey, 33-yard reception. Then Mizzou answers with a 12-yard Cody Schrader touchdown run set up by Makai Miller, 23-yard reception. 2-point is good. Then UGA will answer with a – no, that's supposed to be a 30. A 30-yard field goal set up by Oscar Delp, 23-yard reception. Mizzou's Brady Cook would throw his first interception of the game, which would lead to a 48-yard field goal, putting the game away. Then trying to drive to get one possession to go for an onside kick, Mizzou's Brady Cook will throw another interception, which would lead to the end of the ball game. Mizzou, just like I thought, was in this game to the very end. They fought their tails off. At the end, Georgia was just a little too much. Brady Cook did throw these 2 bad picks, just like LSU. He threw the bad pick at LSU, and then he threw the pick 6 late in the game. He threw 2 bad picks against Georgia, and they just happened to be back-to-back, unfortunately. But Brady Cook and Mizzou plays Georgia close, just like last year. Just could not get it done, just like last year. Moving on to Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. I picked Oklahoma State to win this as dogs, both on the spread and in the rankings. They didn't disappoint. The final installment of Bedlam as 2 Big 12 foes. Oklahoma State wins in the upset. Now, will we see Bellum again? Probably. Do we know when? No, we don't. I'm getting dry, sorry. But let's get into it. Oklahoma State starts first with a 20-yard Ollie Gordon touchdown run. That man. Set up by Brendan Presley, 26-yard catch. Both of those are my guys. Oklahoma starts with a 64-yard Gavin Sawchuk touchdown run. Oklahoma's Devontae Barnes fumbles, leads to a 13-yard Allen Bowman touchdown run. Oklahoma scores a 36-yard field goal set up by Leon Johnson, 20-yard catch. Excuse me, that was Oklahoma State. Excuse me. Oklahoma answers with a 6-yard Drake Stoops touchdown catch. Set up by a 27-yard Jay Stoops catch. Then Oklahoma's 51-yard field goal is missed. Leads to a 3-and-out punt by Oklahoma State. Then Oklahoma State will have a turnover on downs when they get the ball back. 4th-and-6 pass incomplete. Leads to halftime. Then Dylan Gabriel will start the second half with an interception, which will lead to Oklahoma State. Turnover on downs, 4th-and-1. Ollie Gordon running stuff, which will lead to an Oklahoma 23-yard touchdown run by Tyree Walker. The Oklahoma State turnover on downs, 4th-and-1. Ollie Gordon, 1-yard loss. OU, Oklahoma would then turn the ball over down to its next possession on 4th-and-5 passing complete, which would then lead to Oklahoma State's Allen Bowman throwing an interception, which would then ultimately lead to a punt. The Oklahoma State would then score a 1-yard Ollie Gordon touchdown run set up by multiple defensive penalties, and then Dylan Gabriel would then fumble, leads to a 34-yard Oklahoma State field goal. Oklahoma would then score a 36-yard field goal, set up by Jaleel Farouk, 46-yard catch. And then Oklahoma will have a turnover on downs trying to score the game-tying or the game-winning touchdown, game-tying field goal. 4-for-5, Drake Stoops has a 3-yard catch. Need 5. Leads to the end of the game. Now, for Oklahoma State, they actually were able to establish Ollie Gordon a lot better than I thought. I thought it would be tough for Ollie Gordon to get 100 yards, and he surpassed that and more. Oklahoma, Drake Stoops stepped up at receiver, Jaleel Farouk, and here and there, they even moved Farouk to the backfield. I don't know who to really get his blame to for Oklahoma, to be honest. I just feel like sometimes you don't have to blame somebody. I just think Oklahoma State just won a really good game. They won the game they deserved to win. Ollie Gordon had multiple touchdowns. Allen Bowman made plays again when necessary, and they just won the game. And y'all can probably see my eyes are getting super heavy. All right, moving on to a blowout. I don't have too much. I got like 4 lines for this. We have 11-4-8 Penn State 51 at UMD, now on a 4-game losing streak, 15. Sad days for Terps. Now, UMD scored on 1 of 5 of its first half drives, and these are on order. Turnover on downs, fumble, punt, touchdown, and punt. Now, Penn State scored on 3 of 4 first half drives, excluding the end of the half. I didn't include that. And theirs is in order. Touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown. Easy, effective. Now, for the second half, Penn State will score on 6 of 7 of their second half drives. There's goes field goal, punt, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. Maryland score on 1 of 7 second half drives. And there goes punt, punt, touchdown, interception, fumble, interception, ball game. So, difference in the game, Maryland only scored once in each half. Penn State only did not score once in each half. And that's your difference in your ball game. I don't really got too much to say. Maryland on a 4-game losing streak. Didn't expect much against this Penn State team. And Penn State did what they're supposed to do. They came out and smashed Maryland. Watch. Oh, okay. Now, next, got to talk about them JMU boys. They did me dirty in basketball, but in football, I can relate. James Madison beats Georgia State 42-14. I did pick James Madison, -5.5 to win this game. Blew him out. Now, game started off a little sloppy. Georgia State would start with a punt, and then James Madison would start with a 17-yard Taji Hudson touchdown catch set up by Phoenix Bros' 32-yard reception. Then Georgia State would answer with a 30-yard Darren Granger touchdown run set up by Taliq Williams' 14-yard reception. Then Jordan McLeod would throw an interception, which is uncharacteristic, leading to a 33-yard field goal miss, which would then lead to a JMU 41-yard field goal miss, which would then lead to a Georgia State punt. Then with 109 left in the second quarter, Jordan McLeod will score a 5-yard touchdown, set up by a 15-play drive. Then James Madison will start the second half with an 11-yard Tyson Lawton touchdown catch, set up by Jordan McLeod, 27-yard run. Then JMU will score an 11-yard Zach Horton touchdown catch. Georgia State will answer with a Darren Granger 58-yard touchdown run. JMU will answer with a 1-yard Jordan McLeod touchdown run. JMU will score a 3-yard Zach Horton touchdown catch, set up by Jordan McLeod, 24-yard run. And then Georgia State, to end the game, will turn the ball over on downs, 4-for-6. Darren Granger is sacked, leads to a JMU. Oh, excuse me, it doesn't end the game. But then JMU would then turn the ball over on its 4th-and-1, run stuffed, and lead to the end of the game. So, quick notes in this. JMU defense, obviously, is still serious, still real. Had a really good game. Georgia State only scored 2 touchdowns this entire game. Really good offense, shut that down. Almost to the levels of Troy, if I remember correctly, so. JMU defense is a problem, but you put JMU defense with this offense and you get the Sun Belt champs, and they cannot compete for the Sun Belt championship, and it sucks because I think they would win it and they will represent the Sun Belt and the Group of Five very well in bowl games, but unfortunately they cannot do that. Now we're on to the late night. We have 3 more games to recap before I get y'all previews and y'all major performances. I'm going to run through those though. Washington wins 42 against 20th ranked USC, the Trojans. Caleb Williams now has 3 losses. They're out of the playoffs. They can win. They could make the Pac-12 championship, but they need, I think, Oregon to lose next week. I forgot how they play that fast. Oh, no. USC and Oregon played, I believe. They need to beat Oregon and hope Utah loses somehow at somewhere down the line. So, This game was a shootout, just fireworks. SC starts with a Relique Brown 2-yard touchdown run. Washington will answer with a 2-yard Dylan Johnson touchdown run, set up by Josh Chavis 19-yard catch. Then Washington will have his punt block, leads to a 1-yard Caleb Williams touchdown run. Then Washington will respond with a 22-yard Devin Cope touchdown catch. 19-yard Roman Dinsey catch set that up. Southern California will then score a 1-yard Darwin Barlow touchdown run, set up by Darwin Barlow 43-yard run. Then Washington will just answer with his playmaker, Dylan Johnson. Dylan Johnson had a 52-yard touchdown run on that play. Then SC will answer with a 41-yard Todd Washington touchdown run. Then Washington will answer with a 4-yard Jalen Polk touchdown catch, set up by a 32-yard Jalen Polk reception. And then Caleb Williams would fumble after a sack, which would lead to a 1-yard Dylan Johnson touchdown run right before the half. Then Washington would start the second half with an interception. Penix throws an interception for his first on the day, which would lead to a 25-yard Brendan Rice touchdown catch. Then Washington will answer with a 1-yard Michael Penix touchdown run, set up by Dylan Johnson, 33-yard run. SC will answer with a 20-yard Mario Williams touchdown catch. And then Washington will respond with a 43-yard field goal, set up by Dylan Johnson, 20-yard run. And then to add a little, I don't want to say a lot insult to injury, but to make sure the game is out of reach, Washington will get the ball and score a Dylan Johnson 1-yard touchdown run after he ran for 53 yards to set that up. And then SC will end the game with a turnover on downs, 4th and 4, pass incomplete, leads to the end of the game. And that's all I got to say. Washington offense, phenomenal. I know it would be phenomenal against SC's defense. SC's defense is trash. I said it in the pregame, in the preview before the season. I said now, SC's defense is predicated upon turning the ball over. If they don't turn the ball over, they're going to get scored on. And that's what Washington did. They scored on them. Penix did have one interception. But it didn't matter because he was going to keep scoring and scoring and scoring. And your offense at SC was going to have to score with him, and they couldn't. And Washington takes the dub by 10. They'll probably stay at 5, though, in the college football committee rankings. That's why I still have them at 5. Now, 2 more games. We have the game I picked, LSU. I did pick Washington to win that game, by the way. We got LSU, I picked to win at Alabama. I should have stuck with Alabama. I think preseason, I had Alabama to win. But LSU offense looked really explosive, and Alabama defense did not look good, and it didn't matter because Alabama offense scored basically every drive. Alabama wins 42-28 in Tuscaloosa against 14th-ranked LSU. They were 8th-ranked Alabama themselves. Alabama starts with a punt. LSU starts with a 46-yard Malik Nabers touchdown catch. Alabama will answer with a 23-yard Jalen Milroe touchdown run. That was one of 3 touchdown runs on the day for Jalen Milroe, just using his legs so effective against LSU. LSU, turnover on downs, 4th and 1, pass incomplete, leads to a Jalen Milroe 4-yard touchdown run. Again, 3 on the day for him. LSU, 46-yard field goal is missed, leads to a 47-yard field goal missed by Bama, which leads to a, I'm going to just say, 7-yard Jaden Daniels touchdown run. Maybe that's supposed to be a 9. Alabama answers with a 21-yard Jalen Milroe touchdown run. That's his 3rd on the night now. Set up by Jam Williams, 35-yard catch. And I know this is his 3rd rushing touchdown, no passing touchdowns. LSU answers with his 26-yard Kyron Lacy touchdown catch. Set up by a 40-yard Jaden Daniels run. Then LSU starts the second half with a 2-yard Josh Williams touchdown run. Set up by a 30-yard Malik Nabers catch. And I know I remember getting a little gust of energy. I bet on LSU to win. They didn't. Then Alabama will answer with a 16-yard Roy Dale Williams touchdown run. Set up by Jalen Milroe, 18-yard run. Then Alabama will score Jalen Milroe, 11-yard touchdown run. Set up by Isaiah Bond, 18-yard reception. Then LSU Jaden Daniels will have his first interception, which will lead to a 10-yard Jason McClellan touchdown run. Then Alabama, 43-yard field goal is no good. I mean, honestly, that was salt in the wound. The game was over. Why would you do that? Leads to an LSU turnover on downs, I believe 4th and 1 pass incomplete or 4th and 7, which leads to the end of the game. Now, Jaden Daniels did get out the game by Dallas Turner, deemed unnecessary roughness. I can't tell if it was unnecessary roughness or not, especially because he got a concussion from the hit. I think it actually was a little unnecessary. I think it was late. I think it was after the whistle slightly. So I feel like they shouldn't go too harsh on him, but a penalty is fine. LSU offense really had legs until Jaden Daniels got hurt. Once Jaden Daniels got hurt, LSU offense just did not look the same. Alabama was able just to – it was Jalen Milroe. He was just able to run, win, and wherever he wanted to get first downs or get touchdowns or whatever he wanted. Didn't really have to put the ball in danger and harm's way throwing the ball because LSU run defense was trash. It was horrendous. Jalen, like I said, Jalen Milroe was running through it however, whenever he wanted to. Shout out to him. Like, that's not a good – that's not a bad defense to do that to. I understand LSU defense is not of what we're used to of years past. I think LSU fans will tell you that themselves. But that was unacceptable against Bama Saturday. That was almost unrankable offenses. Now, I think the AP poll loves the SEC, so you still be ranked. But it was almost an unrankable offense. Now, our last preview recap we have before I get into these major performances and these previews, because, boy, am I tired. It is 12:40. Y'all can see it in my face. UCLA at Arizona. I did pick Arizona to win, and they won 27-10. Upset alert at home. Home dog had to take it. But I thought Arizona was the better team. Well, been playing the better football. I don't know if they're the better team, but they've been playing the better football. They might be the better team, too. They look really good. I stayed up to watch that game. UCLA starts with the punt. Arizona starts with a Noah Fifita interception. Leads to a 42-yard field goal miss, which would then lead to a 9-yard Montana Luminous Craig touchdown catch for Arizona. UCLA 41-yard field goal would be missed, which would lead to a punt. Arizona would score a 9-yard Jacob Cowan touchdown catch set up by Tatora McMillan, 34-yard catch. Both of those was my play keys of the game. UCLA would answer for the 14-yard Carson Ryan touchdown catch set up by Logan Loy, a 30-yard catch. Arizona starts the second half with a 37-yard field goal. Well, Jonah Coleman, 17-yard run, set that up. UCLA will answer with a 29-yard field goal of their own, set up by Carson Steele, 18-yard run. Arizona will score 11-yard Tatora McMillan touchdown catch, set up by Tanner McLaughlin, 30-yard reception. Then with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, UCLA, turnover on downs, 4th-and-19, 5-yard T.J. Harding catch on 4th-and-19, daggone sure not enough, which will lead to an Arizona 22-yard field goal. Then UCLA will have another turnover on downs, 4th-and-4. Colin Shalit will pass incomplete, which will lead to the end of the game. Now, I would say this. Noah Fifita, I haven't watched much of you. Actually, take that back. Yesterday was the first time I ever watched you, and I love what I saw. Love what I saw, the mobility, the ability to make passes while being mobile. Knowing, I think he still got a lot of growth to grow, of course. That's just what's going to happen with a young quarterback. But, man, I love what I saw from bro. Now, I think it was a little too premature. Somebody compared him to Mahomes. I don't think that was the announcer's words. The announcer just relayed the message. Don't agree with that. Not that good. But he's been balling. It's going to be hard to see Jaden Delore get his job back. If he gets his job back, coming to Michigan State. I mean, I'll gladly take you. But, yeah, Noah Fifita, diamond in the rough, came out of nowhere and is balling. Arizona crowd was packed. It was loud. It was raving in there. You had Gronk there. I can't remember who else was there, but that arena was rolling, and rightfully so. And that Arizona football team had that arena, gave that a reasons to rock. So shout out to them. Now we have to get into our major performances. I have 11. I'm by myself. I have 11. I counted. First one, Marion Lukes, 21 carries, 202 yards, and a touchdown for Central Michigan at running back. He is a major performer. You know what? I got to take this ticker off. We got to get some claps going. So, we have Krishan McCray, 6 catches, 161 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Kent State. Chris Lewis, 4 catches, 120 yards, and 3 tuds on his Randy Moss vibe. Receiver out of Troy. Then you got Xavier Leggett, my guy, who I probably wouldn't have put in here, but he had over 20 yards against Jack State. And Jack State is a formidable opponent. 9 catches, 217 yards, and 2 touchdowns in the win over Jack State for South Carolina. Now, Adonai Mitchell, 8 catches, 149 yards, and a tud to help the rook out Malik Murphy for Texas, Adonai Mitchell. Tez Johnson, 12 catches, 180 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Oregon. Quentin Cooley, running back, 23 carries, 179 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Liberty. Dylan Johnson, 26. You know what? I'm going to do this. Dylan Johnson, 26 carries, 256 yards, and 4 touchdowns for Washington. Malik Nabers, 10 catches, 171 yards, and a TD for LSU. Jalen Milroe, 15 out of 23, 207 yards, 20 carries, 155 yards on the ground, and 4 touchdowns for the Alabama quarterback. Then we have our last. This is an honorable mention because I just really like the way he played Saturday night. I had to throw him as an honorable mention. Noah Fifita, 25 for 32, 300 yards, 3 TDs, and 1 interception for Arizona. Those are your major performances. You got some repeat offenders here. Malik Nabers, Xavier Leggett, I believe is repeat. Quentin Cooley, I believe is repeat. So Malik, Xavier, and Quentin Cooley, keep balling. Keep making your appearances on major performances because you're balling. They can't stop you, and that's why it's major. Now, I got 3 Tuesday night previews for y'all, and then I am finished. I'm not going to hold y'all with no crazy outro. Been almost an hour in. Got to get these done real quick so I can go to bed. Got something for work tomorrow in the morning. Don't feel like doing it, but I got to do it. We have our first game, Ball State at Northern Illinois. As you can see on the ticker, Northern Illinois at this moment is a 9.5-point favorite. You can catch this game Tuesday, 7 o'clock on CBSN. If you're new, the way my previews work, I get 5 keys for each team on how to win the game. And in the end, I make my pick. So, Ball State, Kyle Kelly has to play better through the air. He had double-digit passing yards, I believe. I think he only had like 60-something. Kyle Kelly has to continue to use his legs. He went crazy on the ground, including a 40-plus-yard touchdown run. Still have to feature Marquise Cooper. You have to feature, just because you found something with Kyle Kelly don't mean you have to leave Marquise Cooper on the back burner. And they didn't, but they have to remember that. Kyle Kelly, take care of the football. He had 2 fumbles that he lost. Both of the fumbles, the only fumbles of the game were through Kyle Kelly. Lost them both. Gotta hold on to my football, Petey. And lastly, force Rocky Lombardi to turn the ball over. Now, I know it's the late game to end the game interception, but it still won you the game for Central Michigan last week. Got to find a way to turn Rocky Lombardi over. Now, for Northern Illinois, has to stop the run because that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to run Marquise Cooper and Kyle Kelly right at you. They're going to try to make you choose. Do you go with the quarterback? Do you go with the running back? They're going to run some read options. Force Kyle Kelly to throw the ball because, again, double digits in passing yards last year. Last week, have to keep the Ball State offense behind the chains. If you're going to try to force them to throw the ball, they got to stay behind the chains. So run defense got to come to play. Get the ball to Trayvon Rudolph. I know he had a 72-yard touchdown catch last week, so you got to get the ball to your playmakers. Get the ball to your playmakers and let them make plays. And force a Kyle Kelly interception. The defense has 9 interceptions on the year. Got to make that 10. And what better player to do it against a running quarterback? And with that being said, I'm going to take Northern Illinois to win this game. Narrowly was short from coming back against Central Michigan. I think Kyle Kelly makes Ball State a more dynamic team, a more better team, but I don't think that they beat this Northern Illinois team. They're battle-tested 2 years ago. Won the MAC title, I believe 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, won the MAC title. Not MAC. Yeah, MAC title. Yeah, I'm tripping. Won the MAC title and lost the bowl game to Coastal Carolina in the Cure Bowl. I understand this is not the same Northern Illinois team, but they have Rocky who was there, and he remembers how it was, and maybe he can get some of that magic back on this team. Moving on. Shout out my cousin. We have Central Michigan at Western Michigan. Western Michigan being a 3-point favorite with the worst record. So, for Central Michigan, established Marion Lukes. He had over 20 yards, made major performances for week 9. No. Yes, made it for week 9. Oh, no. Marion Lukes made it for this past week. He should have been on major performances for this past week. I'm so sorry if he wasn't. Yeah, first name. So he just made major performances. I'm so sorry about that. Just made major performances. You got to stop him. Jace Bauer has to continue to use his legs. He would have made major performances, but his passing game stats wasn't good enough. So I had to pass, and I think he threw a pick, so I had to pass. Get the ball to Jesse Pruitt, the third leading receiver in yards. I believe he leads them in touchdowns as well. I have to check that. I have to double check that. But I know he leads them in yards. Central Michigan right here. Boom. Jesse Pruitt. He has four touchdowns, 428 yards. And let's go to stats. Receiving. Yep, he leads them in touchdowns as well. So definitely get my boy the ball if you have a chance, if you want to win. Bauer has to be better through the air. Again, he didn't make major performances because of that. And you have to stop Western Michigan from running the ball. That's where most of their touchdowns actually come from. From when I was looking, their quarterback has five touchdowns. Their starter and backup running back, I believe, have seven touchdowns combined, five of them being to the starter. No, excuse me. They have seven and five combined. So 12 combined, seven being to the starter. That is significantly better than the quarterback. And the quarterback should definitely have more touchdown passes than your running back have running the football. So he has to definitely step up there. I mean, Central Michigan has to stop the run there. Now, Western Michigan has to force CMU to throw the ball. Like I said, Bauer has to work on being better with the football. Have to make them throw the ball. Have to stop Western. No, excuse me. Establish Jalen Buckley, 775 yards and seven touchdowns for that young man. Balling. Close to 1,000 yards. I understand this is game 10. Yeah, this is game 10. But he's still close to 1,000 yards. He's closing in on 1,000 yards in 12 games. Extraordinary season for this young man. Have to contain Jace Bauer. Again, can't let him use his legs. Got to make him beat you through the air. Explosive runs to ignite the home crowd. That's just going to get this crowd into it. They're used to seeing big runs or touchdown runs and stuff like that. Let's say a 30, 40-yard gasher to start the game. Gets the home crowd right into it even more. And Hayden Wolf has to get going at quarterback. Again, he only has 867 yards, five touchdowns, two interceptions. It's game 10. The running game is carrying his team so far, and they're 3-6. So he has to get going. He has to get the ball going through the air. And I'm going to take Central Michigan again in the upset. They were 6.5-point dogs. It ended against Northern Iowa, Illinois. They won that game. I think Central Michigan wins the battle of the directional Michigans. I think they were able to establish a run. I think Central Michigan may have a better passing game than Western Michigan. I think Central Michigan is primed for the upset. Now Central Michigan, and if Central Michigan wins this game, they are bowl eligible. So that is something else that they're playing for in this game. So give me Central Michigan to win this game. Also, if Central Michigan wins, Western Michigan is no longer eligible to become in a bowl. They will be 3-7. Just added bonus for Central Michigan. Now, our last, thank God, preview of the night. Ohio at Buffalo. Ohio being 7-point dogs at Buffalo. Tuesday, 7:30 on ESPN2. Oh, I forgot. That's my name. That's why. I was looking for something. Don't worry about me. So, Ohio, get the ball to Sam Wiglitz. Y'all know I love Sam Wiglitz like I love Keon Coleman. You need to play Dow 12. Sam Wiglitz on third down is money. Have to establish Sia Bangarua and O'Shawn Allison. Again, thunder and lightning for this Ohio Bobcat team. Curtis Rourke has to go. Oh, it's going to be huge. He's going to be huge here. If they can't establish the run, keep getting second and third and longs, he's going to be huge to get him out the hole. He's used to it. But still, it's still going to be huge. Have to stop Ron Cook Jr., who is the running back for the Buffalo squad, Buffalo Bulls. He is going to be a major factor for you to stop on that Buffalo offense. And you got to force a Cole Snyder interception. Cole Snyder has 9 picks on the year. He's been giving the ball away. You got to be one of those in line to get a takeaway. Now, for Buffalo, Cole Snyder, opposite, can't have any picks. Got to come away with 9 picks on the year before and after this game. Instead, force a Curtis Rourke interception because this Buffalo defense has 11 picks on the year. Force Curtis Rourke. Oh, my God. I know it's getting late because I'm fumbling my words with this guy's name. Curtis Rourke has 5 interceptions on the year. Your defense has 11. Something's got to shake. Have to get Ron Cook Jr. going. If you get him going, you play keep away from his Ohio offense. And his Ohio defense, for real, it's been like the strength of this team for a while. So if you can score points on his Ohio defense and force Ohio to score points with you, doesn't bode well. Have to score on this defense. Just talked about that. Key in on Sam Wiggins on third downs. Just said it. On third down, need to play down 12. But with that being said, I'm taking Ohio to win the game. Maction, runner-up. Just a better team. Buffalo did play Toledo decent. Toledo pulled away. I think Ohio does the same thing. Ohio plays decent, but then pulls away from Buffalo. Buffalo's always been one of them teams that's been an upset alert threat since Leipold has left. So I wouldn't put them past them to win, but I'm going with Ohio -7. Now, with that being said, that's all I really got. That's all I have for y'all today. I will be back tomorrow to recap. Well, I don't know if I'll be back to recap. Depends on what time we could go on. If I'm back late night, it's to recap and give you Wednesday and Thursday previews. If I'm here earlier, can't recap, but I will give you Wednesday and Thursday previews. So you will get your Wednesday and Thursday previews no matter what tomorrow. I believe Wednesday is Maction. Yesterday is Wednesday is Maction. Thursday just regular. We got some ACC football. We got some Sun Belt football. So Maction Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Got your Tuesday. You will get your Wednesday. Real quick, before I leave, let me take this ticker off. MSU basketball got upset by JMU basketball at home, 78-74. Shot horrible from three. Believe 1-for-20 or 1-for-21 from three. Won't cut it. That will not cut it. You are losing most of the time with that. Free throw line. What did we shoot from the free throw line? Oh, my God. San Diego State ended up blowing out Cal State Fullerton at the end of the game. Here we go. Oh, we lost 79-76. Excuse me. We lost by three. Free throw line, we shot 23-37. 62%. Can't have shooting 62% from the free throw line with 5% from the three-point line. Expect to win any game. Now, we were lucky enough to even be in this game shooting those numbers. Shot 36% from the field. Match JMU in that department. JMU shot 8-for-29 from three. Not exactly too much better, but they had 7 more threes than we did. Shot 75% from the free throw line to JMU. 14 offensive rebounds to 17. 37-31 defensive. Everything looks pretty similar. It's just the fact we cannot buy a three. And Malik Hall, honestly, was very disappointing down the stretch. Looked like he played with no confidence. He just looked like he was playing to not mess up. He looked like he was scared to mess up. It didn't look like he was playing basketball. It just looked like he was just trying to play to not mess up. I feel like that cost us in the end as well. But Tyson, man, gutsy performance. Put up 38 in a losing effort. Gutted out a lower leg injury, whichever it may be. I think it was kind of like foot, ankle, but who knows. But 35 for talking Tyson Walker, excuse me. Tyson had 35. Cohen Carr, 14 for him. Made some plays straight late down the stretch. But Tyson Walker and Cohen Carr both missed free throws down the stretch, which could have put this game away. Unfortunate event that we lost to James Madison. We have a nice bounce back game against, I believe, Southern Indiana. Let me look. Yep, against Southern Indiana, Thursday, 7 o'clock. Probably won't watch too much of that. And then it's the Champions Classic next Tuesday. We're for sure going to watch that. Got to play better if we expect to beat Duke, or I will be 0-2 t-shirts. A game to watch tomorrow, if you have time to watch college basketball, Auburn versus Baylor. Baylor's on the road, I believe, against Auburn. Auburn, why am I blanking on his name? Is not Rick Barnes, that's Tennessee. Why am I blanking on Auburn's head coach? Why? Bruce Pearl. I believe Bruce Pearl normally has a pretty good Auburn teams. I know blanking on Baylor's head coach, and I can't believe it because he won the national championship 2 years ago and with all my guys with Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell and Matt Meyer and them. Why am I blanking on his name? Is it Drew Scott? Why am I blanking on his name? No, it's not Drew Scott. It's wow. I cannot believe I'm doing this right now. Scott Drew. There you go. Scott Drew. He's always got good Baylor teams. I know he lost LJ Flagler. No, Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer. I know he lost both of them. Keontae George to the NBA. Y'all know I'm tired. All right, look, just watch that game tomorrow. I'm not rambling, but I'm messing up. But watch that game if you have a chance. That's like the only good college basketball game to watch. And that's all I have for y'all tonight. And until tomorrow, I'm out. Peace.
Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter what you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all the next episode.